Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson. And that's
and I'm Chris Cherniak.
That's Chris Cherniak right across the board. And joining us for the second half of the show this morning is the Utah Valley Earth Forum, founded in 2006. It's a citizen-based environmental organization working for good stewardship and a healthy environment. So we've got two guests with us today from this organization. And I believe that first...
We have Dr. Benyon on the line.
Okay.
If you want to start chatting with him, we lost Dr. Westwater. We'll get him in a second. Oh, Dr. Westwater, you're there.
Yes, I am. Sorry, I think I accidentally hung up.
Well, perfect. We're glad to have you back on the line to introduce this organization. I believe you're integrally involved with this and one of the founders. So tell us what the Utah Valley Earth Forum is. To chat a little bit about the Utah Valley Earth Forum and your upcoming event, tell us how you came to be involved with this organization and your role as a board member of it.
I joined about 3 years ago. I was interested in doing something for environment, specifically in Utah Valley. And so I joined the board. Jim, when he comes on, we'll talk more about the general
I'm here
Utah
now.
Valley Earth Forum. But if you want, anyway, I'm specifically talking about the forum that we're having. This is our third forum that we're going to live stream to Facebook. To the Utah Valley Earth Forum Facebook site. Mm-hmm. And we've done one on youth attitudes toward the environment, one that involved the Democratic candidate for governor, and one that this next one is entitled The Pandemic and the Climate Crisis, Innovating Solutions. In general, the idea for this upcoming forum is that we've learned that during the pandemic that lowering pollution through lowering carbon-based fuel use is possible because people weren't driving, factories weren't working. Pollution cleared out along the Wasatch Front and elsewhere in the West. We don't want to have a pandemic to help us clear up pollution, but we've learned some things that might help us in the future to deal with not just a pandemic, COVID crisis, but a climate crisis. We've learned that when we cooperate, we can do anything. At first in Utah, we kept COVID-19 cases low, but now new narratives have taken over. And some of these problematic narratives are that we can either have good health or good environment, or meaning good health or prosperous business community. And the other kind of bad narrative is that the American mindset is not just independence, but aversion to communal action. So we have a lot of people who are angry about having to cooperate with others. A different narrative would be that the way to a vibrant economy is through good health. It's true of the pandemic, and it will be true of the climate crisis. Without changes in behavior, the pandemic has ruined our economy, and the same will happen with the climate crisis. We've also learned the weakness of a system where government only listens to business, not to science, not to healthcare, not to other kinds of experts, and not to the majority of the people. And so hopefully we can learn from our mistakes. And so just really quickly, the people we're going to have on the program are a healthcare expert. Hannah Saltzman is a resident physician at the U of U Health, and she's worked in environmental health policy. Alessandro Regalon is assistant professor in the Department of City and Metropolitan Planning at the University of Utah. And Gerald Walker is general counsel for Western Resource Advocates in Salt Lake City. And so they're going to talk about the danger of pollution to health, about the possibility of opening more streets to pedestrian and cycling traffic, and then just general care for our Western resources in terms of air, water, and land, and so forth. So that's, in short, what the forum on a week from tomorrow, July 22nd, at 7 o'clock in the evening, will be. And the way to tune in is to go to the Utah Valley Earth Forum webpage and watch the live cast.
Okay.
It's our Facebook page.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll remind our listeners about all that information at the end of the interview. I want to bring Dr. Westwater in, talk a little bit about the UVEF and the history of it and the mission of the UVEF.
Sure. Okay. Well, we formed in 2006 out of a sense of trying to help Mother Earth, trying to help improve the environment and to try to deal with the numerous environmental problems and challenges that we have. I'm the founder and chairman of the organization, and we have been very active over the past 14 years in trying to improve the environment. Would you like me to indicate some of the things that we've done?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're in the process of doing is conducting an environmental stewardship survey of all 22 communities in Greater Utah Valley. Hmm. This, I think, is a 2020 will be our seventh or eighth year of doing this. We send out a survey to all these communities, and we do it in order to help educate, encourage, commend, and publicize their efforts that reflect good stewardship. Another thing we've done of late is to construct an action guide, what we call an action guide for an ailing planet. This is the kind of things that we recommend that we can do, all of us can do, and our government can do, our leaders can do, to help address the very serious problems that are facing the planet, both here in Utah Valley and Utah and the nation and the world. If you're interested in that, it's at guide.uvef.org. And another thing we've done is we have helped save the wetlands of Utah Lake by helping to defeat the Mountain View Corridor Highway through the wetlands in Lehigh. We helped stop the proposed toll bridge across Utah Lake a couple years ago. We host these environmental Meet the Candidates events recently. That was our first Zoom forum, first or second Zoom forum, was on helping the public listen to what the candidates for governor of Utah, the four or five Republican candidates, and the single Democratic candidate. We invited all of them to our Zoom event, but only the single Democratic candidate, Chris Peterson, joined the event. All of the Republican candidates chose not to participate. Hmm. And we do clean air rallies along with our other environmental partners in Utah. We hosted a youth climate justice rally in Provo. We have sponsored clean air conferences at Utah Valley University. We have a speaker sponsorship program where we co-sponsored the appearance of the world-renowned climatologist, Dr. James Hansen. Right. And, of course, we have a website. We do emailings and social media, et cetera. And we have a rooftop solar program. If anyone is interested in doing rooftop solar, we can provide the least expensive, effective rooftop solar program for people.
So it's amazing you have this broad range of environmental programs. It seems like maybe you're kind of that environmental voice for the Utah Valley. I'm curious, over the 14 years that your organization has been around, have you sensed a change in interest in this topic amongst the residents of your communities?
Oh, yes. You can see that clearly by looking at the responses to our environmental stewardship survey. Hmm. Early on, And I can't say that it's increased awareness and increased environmental stewardship in Utah Valley is all due to the actions of the Utah Valley Earthworm. Certainly not, but we've had a hand in this, and there's been a general increase in awareness of the need for helpful environmental stewardship in Utah Valley and elsewhere around the planet. But that can be sort of documented in some regard, in some respect, by looking at the responses to our survey, our environmental survey. Of course, I can also say that while some communities in Utah Valley, like Orem and Provo, Lehigh, Spanish Fork, and others, have been very cooperative in our survey and have shown a significant development in terms of their environmental responsibility and helpful actions, there have been a few communities that have chosen not to participate at all in our survey, and that's unfortunate.
I've noticed, yeah. Oh, okay.
No, I, I'm I can't help but wonder what might be the reason behind that.
Right.
I know. Well, how much time do we have? Always that, curious about.
I would imagine if a city thinks it is to their advantage, to their benefit, to tell people, the public, what they are doing and also what they're not doing, because we send a long list of items that cities can check. Yes, we're doing this, or leave blank. No, we're not doing this. Mm. We also allow free response, but why else would a city not want to cooperate unless they think that they don't want the public to know what they are doing or not doing?
Sure. It's a concerning question, to say the least. One thing that I noticed kind of about your programs or your projects is that many of them have a relationship to human health. Is this something that seems to resonate specifically with your constituency?
Very much so, because ultimately we depend on a healthy environment for our health. If we have an unhealthy environment, we are unhealthy. It's a very simple, straightforward connection. The main reason why species die off is that their habitat is destroyed. Their habitat no longer can support a healthy population. And in our view, I think this is the main reason why we need to help improve the environment, is to help make us healthy, happy, successful, productive human beings, because that's extremely difficult to do, and it gets harder and harder and harder the more we adversely affect the climate. Only a fool destroys the home he lives in.
If you are just joining us, we are speaking with the Utah Valley Earth Forum, specifically with Dr. John Bunyan, Associate Professor of English at Brigham Young University and a board member of the organization, and Dr. James Westwater. Jim is the founding member of this organization and is giving us a little background on it. And, you know, as we were clumsily trying to get you both on the phone this morning with this new system, you know, I asked John, you know, what was his motivation to get involved with this organization? And I want to ask you the same thing, specifically because you don't necessarily work in a field that seems related to this. You invented the form of symphonic photochoreography, giant screen, multi-image photographic essays, choreographed to the performance of symphonic music. How is it that you, as an artist and a musician, came to be really focused on these environmental issues?
Well, I love and respect nature, and that has been an aspect of my life, I think, ever since I was a kid. I love being out of doors. I love relating to nature, especially to healthy nature, and it has always disturbed me when I see people not respecting nature, not living in harmony and balance with it. In part, it's because I care for the greater good and I care for the planet. If I didn't, I would be in trouble, and I would. So anyways, that was my motivation.
Yeah, and speaking of motivation, I wanted to circle back to earlier you were talking about the trends you're seeing, more and more people wanting to become good stewards of the environment. And
yes,
you mentioned that the human health reason, the public health reasons why people recognize the connection between a healthy environment and our healthy selves. But others are drawn to environmental stewardship because of just the general ethics behind it. You know, it's just something that we should do. There's the economic benefits associated with a healthy environment. And then there's the moral obligation that some people are drawn to environmental stewardship because it's the moral right thing to do. So do you see examples, both of you, I'll throw that out to both of you, do you see examples of all of that in your membership?
John?
You go ahead. You know the membership better than I do.
Well, people who join our organization and who serve on our board of directors, I think their motivation is generally a passion for protecting and preserving a healthy environment. But I don't think our motivation is mainly to improve the economic health and well-being of the community. That's there. That is a consequence of respecting and learning to live in harmony, balance, and respect for nature. But that, I think, was not our prime motive. It wasn't my prime motive in helping to found this organization and to keep it going. It's I'm concerned that we have not been treating the environment with the respect and care that it deserves and that our health and well-being depend on.
Well, you know, to expand on that a little bit, John, you had mentioned there's kind of this narrative that's this aversion to communal action, which I think is a really interesting lens to look at all of kind of today's events. How do you start to change this? How do we address this within our communities?
Well, we've talked in our board and in our organization about whether we're preaching to the choir or preaching to the people who we hope to change their minds, because the choir already has this ethical, aesthetic, whatever
foundation
embracing of an environment, you know, improving the environment. But a lot of business people have the narrative that they think, and others have the narrative that they think it's either or. Either we can fix the environment or we can have a healthy economy. And we've got to convince that group that public health is a resource, that environmental carelessness is damaging, and that it's the community's economic, to the community's economic benefit to take care of the air and water and land that we have. And so to reaching beyond the choir, we have to use some economic motivations, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have
there's,
a variety
there's
of...
A big, there's a big problem here in that human nature is such that we tend not to respond to a problem or problems until they hit home. Mm-hmm. And this is one reason why many people are not that concerned. The sea level is rising, the polar regions are melting, wildlife species are dying off in distant lands. There is climate migration when people's livelihood and homes are destroyed by a rising sea level, they move. But unless the problem hits home, we tend, human tendency is, hey, you know, it's not my problem. But when the air gets so thick with pollution that you start to cough or you develop asthma or you have to go to the hospital because your health is failing, then you tend to wake up and, hey, the problem hits home. Another example is, hey, the climate is getting warmer, it's getting hotter, it's getting drier, but I'm not that concerned about those effects until an overly dry environment causes trees to become much dry out, die, and become more susceptible to fire. And then the wildfires start, and they come up on our homes and threaten to, you know, burn down our homes.
Sure.
Then we get... Really, when the problem hits home, then we tend to act. In other words, human beings tend to have a lack of empathy, but some of us have more empathy than others of us. And I don't mean to imply that, you know, I'm this great empathetic person and I feel for every you know, problem in the world and every bit of human suffering, but... Right. You know, that's I think one explanation why we have difficulty in getting people, the non-choir, to join the choir.
Sure. Well, we're getting close to the end here, and I wanted to mention this program you have coming up. You the Utah Valley Earth Forum runs a variety of forums, which have now moved online to address these very issues we're discussing. And you have one coming up on Wednesday, July 22nd. And John, do you want to just give us the quick recap on
30 seconds?
Where and how to sign up?
Well, you go to the Utah Valley Earth Forum Facebook page, and in the post, when we start live streaming, there'll be a post that you can click on, and it gives you the video access. And it will also be stored in the video archives, you know, later, that people can go there and find it. But the main place to go is just to the area where posts are on the Utah Valley Earth Forum Facebook page.
Fantastic. Well, okay. We want to thank you both for joining us this morning to talk about the Utah Valley Earth Forum and your upcoming programs. And we'll be joining you on Wednesday, July 22nd.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay.